M3, number 3A.
Well, we started this morning with considering this system of reference which we have in Christian Science. And you remember we had three categories, and we took the first quickly of the synonymous terms and how we arrive at these synonymous terms, and then we were just starting to see what the second category of capitalized terms want to express, namely the operation of those seven synonymous terms. And that's where we left off this morning. We had just a little view at what these four operations of being really want to convey. We began by seeing that the word always is that which first presents being as what it is. Then, that's the self-declaration, then this being isn't static, it's dynamic, it has operative power, it has an idea. In biblical terms, this was called the Christ. We could call it the dynamics of being, the self-operation of being, giving us that wonderful sense that in being there is such a thing which is self-operative, self-steering, self-regulating, self-organizing, so that we don't have to interfere in any way or shape and form into the operation of being. When something goes wrong, it is because we interfere into the Christ idea, into the Christ operation. So this gives us a sense that consciousness must rest in that state of peace and rest where it lets the Christ idea operate. And when it operates, it brings out something. We have seen that Christianity is always the outcome of the Christ idea, therefore shows the fulfillment of what the idea in being has in view. Being has always a great goal, a great aim, a great purpose in view. That's the Christ which operates towards that goal. And we see that because being is in itself complete, it has within itself already the self-fulfillment, giving us again that sense that we should not try hard to achieve anything. If one begins to understand the self-operation of being, one drops that sense that one has to try to achieve anything, because one sees that everything which can be expressed is already self-fulfilled in being. And then Science, as the last one, comes along and shows the self-explanation. And we said this morning that we see very often that when this operative activity has gone on in any experience, either individually or collectively or universally, that then it yields the understanding or the interpretation, the explanation of what it was all about. So that very often, late in our life, we began to see what was happening in earlier stages of our lives. And science is that which has no time and space concept, but which is in the realm of understanding, and therefore can interpret to understanding what this operation really meant. Or, in other words, we can explain those four operations by seeing that being itself, the being, the infinite being as the infinite one, has within itself a fourfold operation. Namely, it always manifests itself out of itself. If I understand the word, I understand that the divine word says, I present myself, I declare myself by declaring everything out of me. We don't need to have a manifestation made by us. That's not a nice English sentence, was that? Let me put it another way. Here the word says that all that is manifesting itself is manifesting out of being. Being is that which manifests everything out of itself. Therefore, you ask, yes, it manifests itself out of itself, but through what channel? Does it manifest itself through man and the universe, through the body, through a business, through a home, or anything like that? On the highest level, we begin to see, no, it can only use its own nature. Therefore, it only manifests itself through itself, never through anything else. Think of that. We always would like that God works through us, as if we would be something apart from God. But if we have seen what we have seen this morning, that being is one and the whole, and therefore has nothing outside of itself, our consciousness begins to realize that being can only manifest itself through its own nature, never through any other channel, because being is the infinite, and therefore is a infinite withinness, so to say. The outcome of it is that it does not manifest itself as an outcome as man or as the universe, but always as itself. Can you see that when we touch the divine system of reference, that a completely new consciousness is built up, that a completely new consciousness is showing that never having any other effect but being manifesting itself as its own being. And we will see that afterwards, that when it comes to demonstration, naturally, that it cannot demonstrate anything but being, with a capital B. And science comes and says, for what purpose does it manifest itself? And it shows that it returns to itself and says it manifests itself only to itself, never to anybody, never to somebody, never to convince anybody, never to show anybody what being is. Being is much bigger than that it has to prove itself to somebody, that it has to demonstrate and prove and explain itself to somebody. Being a one and only manifests itself to the glory of itself. Now, if you see that rhythm, you see it's like a circle going round, where you go out from being, through its own being, and as its own being, and to its own being, and the circle closes, and you feel, well, that's reality. There, in that reality, nothing is taken into consideration but reality itself. Nothing outside of it is taken into consideration. And it lifts the burden from us that we feel that the one being has somehow to manifest itself out of our thinking. That would be the opposite, that it should manifest itself out of our own faculties, our own thinking, our own work, or that it should manifest itself through us, or through a business, or through a home, or as somebody, or to somebody. So often people would like to make a demonstration so as to convince the husband or somebody of the family and say, "You look here, I give you the proof of what it is." But being is completely oblivious of that. Can't be used for such small things. If you take these four operations more on a relative sense, you can say the word is, from the relative point of view, from the human point of view, seeking. You begin to seek what is the self-declaration of being. What are the seven synonymous terms? You seek. It's usually here that we start in the study, that we seek and say, what is being itself? And we study the seven synonymous terms. The moment we begin to grasp something of those seven synonymous terms, we have a feeling that if I touch the infinite touches me. We find We feel, now I've got something. I've found something. So you see, the Christ that is always coming from God to man gives us here a sense of finding. And we feel we are enriched that a new revelation or a new idea has come to us, that we have seen something clearer. When we have found something, we can't leave it there. Or we bury our talents. Christianity says, use what you have found. Use it. What has come to you, don't let it be taken away from you. Don't let it lay bare. Can you say that? Lay bare? Barren? Barren, that's right. Barren. I knew that something was wrong. Don't let it be barren. Use it. Make the best of it. You see? Until finally, thought touches the last, namely science, where you suddenly begin to realize, well, I couldn't really use it. I can't use what already is. And you get the sense, all that there is. And at that point, you touch science, and you touch that sense that being is always being, and that cannot be used, that it uses itself, and so becomes being. It's always in the last of those four, in the science part, that you get the sense of absolute completion, you know, that things resolve within itself. Or let's take those four from another point of view. The word is always revelation. Why is it revelation? It is revelation because the word is that which declares itself. Well, when it comes to the seeking thought, then it comes to us as a sort of revelation. We say, oh, now I got it. It's a new idea. And so the Christ translates my ignorance into a higher revelation. And we have always in the Christ that wonderful sense that the Christ, that operative sense, is reforming, is translating, is exchanging what needs to be exchanged. It is a great sense of translation taking place within us. It's taking place so long that finally we reflect all that the Word really has revealed. Can you see the sequence? It must always be a sequence. It's always, Christianity is always the outcome of the Christ idea. The more it translates that which needs to be translated out of the wrong sense into the true sense, the more reflection takes place. The purer the reflection is. And the purer it is, the more we have a spiritual understanding of the whole process. So that revelation, which was at the beginning revelation, melts into real understanding, where you begin to really understand the whole process of this operative sense. And so you can take all sorts of aspects, always symbolizing the Word, which says first what being is, then the Christ, which says how that being expresses itself, operates, then the always Christianity, which says what comes out of that operation, see? And then lastly, science, which says, after all, this is only a matter of understanding, because nothing goes on except in understanding. And that's science. See, if we would take, for instance, cybernetics, we would see, well, the world is just the input. The Christ is the process. The Christianity is the output. And science then really would be the feedback, which would feed back to the world and say again what is the higher sense of presentation. Or you can take it right down to Christian Science treatment and can see in every treatment, that is, in every solution which you want to attain, you always have four factors to consider, always. There is always a practitioner who gives a treatment towards a patient for the purpose that it should be whole. Isn't that as simple as that, you see? Therefore, you can see that the real practitioner is the Word of God. It's not Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so. Mr. So-and-so can't do a thing to anybody because the only thing that operates is being itself, the self-declaration of the Word of God itself. So that's the true practitioner. So the true practitioner is that one who puts himself right out of the way. Then he is a good practitioner because then he let the Word be the practitioner. It is the Christ, really, that gives the treatment. Nothing can make anything, can achieve anything, can really change anything, but the Christ idea itself. No human thinking can change something. In divine science, it's only the Christ idea that can do something. And so the Christ is really the real treatment which acts as translation. The outcome is always Christianity. The outcome of it is man. And the true patient, therefore, is not a Mr. X or a Mrs. Y or Z, but is really Christianity, the compound idea called man. And what he expresses is seen as wholeness, as health. That's the science of it. And so you could go on, and when you study these four operations of God, you find that they are a very logical sequence, so to say, of an operative power. Yes, well, that's, I think, yeah, perhaps I could show you quickly how graphically you can understand the word Christ, Christianity, and science. You see, what I said is this. The word is really when you start somewhere and you reach out to God, where you reach out to a understanding, a higher and higher and higher and higher understanding of the seven synonymous terms. Therefore, the word is, so to say, an upward trend where our thought and our understanding rises and rises and rises. That's how it is also shown in the 7 days of creation. That there where being is presented as an ascending scale of understanding. The Christ is always, so to say, a downward trend. It's always coming from God to man. The Christ is always the divine message from God to man, from above. Then you get Christianity, and we have seen that Mrs. Eddy explains Christianity as the outcome of the Christ idea. Well, the Christ idea comes down and down and down, you see, and therefore gives the whole realm of Christianity. So you have a word, the upward trending consciousness, and the moment you touch the infinite touches us, comes down. And the more it touches us and touches us and touches us and touches us, see, I could easily draw it like this, that it comes down all the time, like this, to every point. The Christ reaches every point of consciousness, you see. Can you see like this? Can you see? The Christ comes down to every plane of thought, to every stage of experience. It comes down to a plane. That's Christianity. It gives the realm. So Christianity is much more a realm than a direction. And finally, you can see that this process is all one process. There are not three processes in time or space. And science really then combines the whole into one endless being. That's one way, perhaps, of illustrating how you can figure out this sense of the fourfold operation of God. Yes. Now, we come to the third of these categories which we had. See, to this third category of the capitalized term of science, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. I called it the science levels. Perhaps we could call it also the science dimensions. Usually in other sciences, what is presented here is called dimensions. And so I want to introduce to you here now what is meant by these dimensions of science and why we really need them. I'd like to introduce that subject, which is a most modern subject, so to say, in any of the new sciences, because about dimension, everybody in physics, in biology, in psychology, they all see now that being must be understood in a dimensional way. What is meant by that? The dimensional way is the answer, really, to the reductional way. What is meant by that? Well, we know that perhaps until the middle of last century or so, we had only a few classical sciences, that from that moment on, the sciences began to specialize and specialize and specialize until specialization has really become a great necessity in one sense, that only a specialist in any science can have any hope to see through a certain little aspect of what he is investigating. That's all right, but the danger is that the specialist could, he doesn't need to, but very often they could generalize what they have found. And this is called reductionism. Can you read that? People say my handwriting is no good. At home they say it's good. But when I get the letter from America, I can't hardly read it. Well, every country has a own characteristic of writing. Well, the great danger is this reductionism, which means that just a specialized aspect of something is taken as the and only thing. See, for instance, if we take, for instance, the human mind or man, let's take man, and we give man into the hands of an engineer, say, and he looks only with his engineering sense at the phenomena man, then he says, well, this man really is only a combustion engine. Can be reduced, that's reduction, can be reduced really to a combustion engine. If we give that man into the hands of, say, a biologist, the biologist just says, well, I think it's just a very, very complicated biochemical mechanism, because he looks with his specialized eye at it. If we give that man into the hands of a chemist, he says, well, the whole body really can be reduced just to a process of oxidation. It's just an oxidation process. And if we give that same man into the hands of a cybernetician, then he may say, well, that man is really only a very complicated computer. Or if we give it into the hands of a theologian, he says, well, he's just a sinner. Well, you see, what I want to bring out is this sense of saying it is nothing but. This is reductionalism. It's making it so simple, it's reducing it to one phenomena and making that phenomena the main phenomena instead of leaving it as an epiphenomena. I don't know what you call that. Instead of doing that, scientists today come together and say, let's see at an object or at any proposition, like a man, or whatever it is, from all the angles involved, so that one can say, yes, a man is a computer, but he is much more than that. Yes, man is an an oxidation process, but he is much more than that. He has other aspects, other dimensions. In other words, if one takes a phenomena like man or anything else and only looks at it from one view, from one aspect, and says, he's just but, he's nothing but, then this is called reductionism. And this is against what they call dimensionalism. Dimensionalism. You see, dimensionalism is that aspect or that method or approach which tries to take in all the aspects, all the dimensions of a thing. Therefore, they ask for a dimensional ontology. Ontology is the science of being, a dimensional ontology, which therefore takes in all the aspects into one. Now, can you remember how this morning we had that definition of structuralism, and so that structuralism is that aspect where we take the relations which exist among the parts and consider them within a whole, not just from one aspect, but from within the whole. So we must also, in Christian Science, also see that we get a sense of dimensionalism which only will solve us most of the questions which we could never solve, which could bring into our understanding a way, a chart, a grid, a network, into which everything can be integrated and find its place.